Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much.
You remember, Chris, I did an interview with you, and when I met my new guy that is really working very, very hard and got some great guests, I mentioned you, and he just gave you all kinds of kudos.
I heard, and that's, word came down from the grapevine that someone was talking well about me on the radio, Brad, and it wasn't just you this time. Apparently it was Gary as well, so I appreciate all the kind words. I know Gary was an excellent colleague of mine and one of the hardest workers down there, and unfortunately, he's no longer with us in the General Assembly, but he's doing great things with you here on the radio, and that's excellent to hear.
Thank you very much, Representative Chris Davis. So, listen, you had a special session yesterday. I want to talk a little about that, and as well as some of these new taxes that have been inflicted on the citizens of our wonderful state. But really briefly, talk about what happened yesterday.
Well, yesterday was probably another example of how dysfunctional the state legislature is. We got called in for a veto session. We were told by the Speaker of the House we were going to override the bill that would provide clearance and put into statute the regulations that restaurants have been operating under for years when it comes to how their employees are apportioned, whether they're being a waitress or they're working in the kitchen or whatnot. And so we go in to vote for a veto session, and we're told that, they're not going to be able to do that today. So
why? What was the reason given, Chris?
Well, I think there's a pushback from some of the most liberal members of the party. They're under this belief that this somehow, by having this court-ordered system put into place, it's beneficial to the workers, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case, and it's certainly putting a lot of restaurateurs at risk because there's more and more lawsuits being filed about going back and looking at how people's wages were apportioned over that time period, and now they're being sued, even though these restaurateurs in most cases are using the regulations that were actually published in a book by the Department of Labor. They just weren't codified in state statute, and that's what we were trying to do with this bill. So rather than actually take it up for a vote, despite being told we were going to do that, we actually just voted to call ourselves back into special session later on this summer to take on a different version of this issue. Hopefully we can work it out with the governor's office on how exactly he would feel comfortable with moving forward with something to provide the restaurant industry some certainty.
So they're going to go back and rework the language and call you guys in for another session. You brought up something very interesting that I want to ask you about. You talked about the far left, the progressives in our state legislature. Let's look at the House and Senate here on the state level. What percentage would you say are of the Democrats in the House and Senate comprise of the progressive, the far left?
So we have 151 members, and I believe the membership of the Progressive Caucus is up over 40 members. So it's a pretty good size of the Democratic Caucus, which is about 90 members. So you're getting close to
about half.
Or, yeah, I mean, 80 members. So you're getting close to, about half of their membership is considered part of this progressive wing of the party. So that's why you started to see this past legislative session more and more of those liberal agenda items being pushed. And that's, how we ended up with paid family medical leave, with an increase in the minimum wage, with one of the largest tax increases in state history, despite massive deficits, increased spending. All of those things got pushed through, largely in part because you have this block of votes within the Democratic caucuses that are large now, that are pushing this progressive liberal agenda.
Chris, I believe, and this is just me now, I believe that what the Democrats, what you just described, are doing, and it's growing. I believe that this is going to be very, very injurious to that particular group of people, because the American people are not ready for something like that. They really aren't.
But the, how about the Connecticut people? Maybe that's, the Connecticut people are.
Well, that's I can't believe they are. But
they elect them.
But you never. I know. This is something that
people aren't paying enough attention to. That they're not looking at the, you know, the rather mundane bills. Or there's only concentrating on a couple here and there. And you know what? They're bringing money back to their district, and they're attending all the Eagle Scout ceremonies and the ribbon cuttings and the grand openings and the high school graduations and so on and so forth. So they say, oh, well, he's a nice guy. He's at everything. I think I'll vote for him again. Not really paying attention to what they're really voting on. It kind of gets unreported and flies under the radar. Am I mistaken, Chris, or is that pretty accurate?
No, I think it's 100% accurate. I think most of the time people don't recognize the fact that they might be saying one thing when they go into their district or doing one thing.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, when they get down to Hartford, they vote another way. And I know, Gary, you know it right away, but, Brad, sometimes you get a mailer from some of the members, even members of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. And you would think that they're members of the Republican Party with what all the things that they're championing, all these, all the things they did to grow business or all the things that they did to reduce spending and other things like that, when in fact, you know, they were actually on the side trying to do everything the quite opposite of what they're promoting when they go back to their district. So
they better get the word out. I'll tell you right now.
Smoke and mirrors.
Get the word out.
Yep. So, Chris, talk about paid family medical leave and some of these other fees that has been inflicted on us.
Well, paid family medical leave will be a 0.5% income tax increase on every worker in the state of Connecticut that is a wage earner that gets a W-2 at the end of the year, including part-time employees. If they meet the hour threshold, they're going to have to participate and pay into the system as well. But I'll take that back, because not every single employee is going to be paying this income tax increase in order to fund this program, because state employees and municipal employees that are under contracts, union contracts, they're exempt. They're the people that are exempt in the state of Connecticut. They don't have to pay this, and they don't have to participate in the program. But every other employee in the state of Connecticut would.
It's so good. It's such a good program.
Oh,
we're
going to
exempt
God.
State and municipal employees.
Unreal.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So this is going to generate about $400 million a year from the people of Connecticut. Sets up the paid family medical leave program. There would be caps on how much money you can make out of this program. So even if you don't want to participate in it, even if you have a job that pays significantly more than what this benefit would be, or have an employer that is kind enough that has a program in place already, mm-hmm. for paid family leave, which a number of them do, you still have to pay into the program. There's no way to opt out of it. And that's really the only way that they can fund this thing, even at all, because most people are predicting that this amount of money is not going to cover the amount of people that are going to be using this program.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah, now it becomes an entitlement.
Yeah.
So when you previously maybe were injured and you got out of work and you used family medical leave for a few weeks under federal law, you know, we're all entitled to it under Connecticut law as well, it might be unpaid. So you might be out of work for only a couple of weeks after a shoulder surgery or something like that. You get back to work. Well, now you'll be entitled to up to 12 weeks. So employers are very cautious about this, because they're afraid that their employees who otherwise maybe would have done what they could to get back to work as soon as possible are now going to stay out for those 12 weeks and as long as they medically can. And they're going to have to find people to fill those jobs for short periods of time, which is going to be incredibly difficult for most business owners, especially the small business owners.
Another anti-business bill. Another anti-business bill. And it really hurts the small business owner.
Yeah, I mean, imagine a small contracting company, like you're an electrician company, and you have two or three electricians that work with you, and now, you know, one or two of them goes out on paid family medical leave for 12 weeks at a time. You're not going to be able to just call up the temp agency and say, send me a licensed electrician, and I only need them for 8 to 10 weeks. You know, that's not going to work out that way. Yeah. So these small businesses are going to be the ones that are potentially hurting when it becomes a fully operational program within the next 2 years.
This wasn't brought out in the public hearing?
Don't you believe?
Well, I believe the public hearing lasted several hours. The business community, you know, did come and testify about, you know, all the harm that could be done to the state's economy with the. And it's not that people don't want to have family medical leave. It's not that we don't want to have a way to do paid family medical leave. It's just that this program that got put into place has been nationally recognized by the media as the most generous program in the entire country. Other states have done it in ways that make it work for businesses. They do it essentially like a short-term disability insurance program, like how California and Rhode Island handle it. And that's actually what us as Republicans proposed. Let's develop this, you know, type of disability insurance, if you will, that will cover these individuals in a much more responsible manner than what was being proposed. But unfortunately, what got passed is considered the most generous program to the worker in the country. At the detriment to the employer.
You know, listening to you this morning, Chris, I'm so thrilled that you were able to be with us. But something has to happen. We cannot continue like this. It just will fail. And we've got to think about the people. If they're not thinking about themselves, we've got to think about them. And make sure that these things are not going to be happening to them.
Well, Brad, I'll give you another example of exactly what you're talking about. And that's in this latest budget, the governor re-amortized the state pension programs. And it was actually just in the news the other day. If your listeners were reading the paper, I guess they came to an agreement with the state unions to do this, to basically re-amortize or stretch out the liabilities that we have for the pension programs. And what that does is it gives us about $200 million in short-term savings. This next budget, we don't have to contribute $200 million as much into that program. But what it adds on to the back end is billions of dollars of costs. Because you're stretching out how long we're paying off these liabilities. We're stretching out the interest into them.
Yeah,
we're talking about billions of dollars added on for not just our kids, but grandkids.
Yeah.
Another two generations.
Future generations, yeah. We're kicking the can down the road, Chris. That's all we're doing. We were kicking the can down the road, and that's pretty much par as far as how things have been going in the legislature, even when I was there. You know, some Democrats, Chris, will say, we did not raise taxes. How can they say that?
I'm not sure how they get away with saying that, because they raise taxes all over the place. The governor claims he didn't raise the income tax rate. Well, you know what they did is that they reduced the credit for small business owners. So small business owners are paying $50 million more in income taxes a year under this budget. Their rate might not have increased technically, but their credit against the pass-through taxes that they pay was decreased. So to them, their taxes are going up. You have all kinds of other tax increases on the sales tax side that have gone up on digital goods. Like if you have a Netflix subscription, you're paying more now in sales tax for that. If you download an app on your phone and pay for it, you're paying more in sales tax in Connecticut for that. One of the things that I think is going to catch a lot of people off guard is the plastic bag fee, 10 cents per plastic bag.
Yeah, that starts August 1st, right?
August 1st. And it's not just at the grocery store. It's at every retail establishment that offers bags.
Wow.
So, Home Depot, Lowe's, TJ Maxx, you know, any of those places are going to have to start charging you 10 cents per bag.
Oh, that's just
keeping track of how many bags you're getting. Yeah. And one thing that I think the state might be running into trouble into is that they're counting on this money, almost $30 million a year they think they're going to generate from these plastic bags. But I know the big Y system throughout Connecticut has already come out and said, well, we're just going to eliminate plastic bags entirely.
Listen, we're running out of time here, Chris. I got about 10 seconds left. But listen, I want to thank you so much for being with us, and I hope you'll be able to come back and join us again.
Tremendous.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
Come back and join us. This is a revolution. That's what it is.
State Representative Chris Davis, you're listening to Brad Davis in the Morning. We'll be right back.